A UN official reports the deaths of hundreds of people in the northern Afghan city of Mazar-e-Sharif, which was seized on Friday. It was the first major prize of the current Northern Alliance offensive. A UN spokeswoman in Pakistan quoted eyewitness reports from Mazar-e-Sharif that spoke of summary executions, including the deaths of more than 100 young Taliban recruits who had sought refuge in a school. The reports have raised concern about how Northern Alliance troops will operate in other towns and cities they've captured. The BBC's Peter Greste reports all is well in the newly liberated capital.
This is the way Kabul should be. Traders in the bazaar sitting down to a morning cup of tea, chatting over the day's politics. The locals here have opened their doors to the first day without the Taliban in half a decade, and they're enjoying getting back to normal. For once, there are none of the draconian restrictions that have ruled their lives. Nobody to check the length of their beards. Nobody to whip them if they listen to music. Nobody to stop women from returning to work. This woman told me she was delighted to be on her way back to her job at the university after 5 years behind closed doors. One of the first acts of the new Northern Alliance administration was to scrap the Taliban's old rules and call on women to return to work. The old anxieties remained, though. She didn't want to give me her name, and she was still behind the head-to-toe burqa. Men, too, say the Taliban only brought problems.
We were so happy about the union in the Islamic State of Afghanistan to come here, and all the securities at the street, at the road, all the people can walk and sleep right now.
For all the flaunting of the old rules, there is still a deep anxiety about the future. This country is hungry for news about how the new and deeply fractious Northern Alliance might negotiate what the West has called an inclusive government. The alliance is itself made up of the same factions that destroyed vast sections of Kabul with bitter infighting during the early 1990s. The only thing that's held them together is their common enemy. And now that that's all but gone, nobody's sure whether they won't return to the infighting. I'm standing in one of the main bazaars of Kabul, and all around me people are preparing for the day ahead. Shopkeepers are opening up their doors and laying out their wares. Others are sitting down for breakfast of tea and bread. And there are a couple of women who are off to do some shopping. In fact, it is, for all the world, a very ordinary scene, and I think that's what makes it quite so remarkable. This country has a very long and violent history of bloody military takeovers, and as little as 24 hours ago, nobody could have possibly dreamed that things would turn out quite so well. The first Northern Alliance troops hunted down the Taliban, unlucky enough to be left behind in the retreat. With the alliance's lightning advance and the collapse of the Taliban, there were fears that the usual bloodbath would follow. But the bulk of the fighters held back. The alliance leadership knows that to behave as invaders means losing all the international support that's got them this far in the first place. Then the jubilation, less welcoming the new militia as celebrating the end of a hated regime. But Afghans also know that their fractious politicians have a lot of work to do before they can believe in a truly peaceful future.
The BBC's Peter Greste in Kabul.